Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here, Getaway Friday, July the 31st, 2026. Last Friday in the month of July. A matter of fact, last day in the month of July. How about that? 13 and a half minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Apparently there was a crash out there this morning.
Yes, like right at the bottom of the overpass at 309. There was a semi in the ditch, and they had, like, 309 blocked. I would have been late either way, so that's not, like, the reasoning I was late, but...
There you go. Well...
It extended it.
Last night was a big banner night here in Marion. It was the 17th annual Night of 1,000 Stars. Last night we honored Larry Barnett. We debuted the Mary Ellen Withrow documentary. We had a lot of great talent there tonight, last night. And, you know what shocks me right off the bat is the attendance. Now, I expected, it's a Thursday night, it's July, we didn't have any school choirs, we didn't have any dance schools, we didn't have any of that type of entertainment, which is typically what we do with these events, and we filled the room last night. There were about 100 people there. So that right off the bat, I thought was a very, very good sign that people wanted to come out and see this show last night.
Well, I figure, yeah. I mean, there were. I mean, the room was full. That's what you want.
Well, that's what you want, but I didn't expect there to be that many people there, but it was good. I thought it was a lot of fun. And Larry's family came out. I had never met his daughters and his grandson. That was nice. I believe even his wife's sister. So his sister-in-law was there last night. I got to meet her when she came in. That was very nice. Mary Ellen's daughter was there. That was a very nice thing. And we had a lot of great performers last night. We had Gabriel Ross Vanis. We had Aaron Brewer. We had Chad Clark. We had the Marionaires. We had United in Harmony. Mike Larson came up and did comedy. President Harding was there and gave a speech. I mean, it was a night jammed full of entertainment.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a big lineup.
And it was good that way, and also we had great food provided by our caterers last night, Sue and Betty, who did a great job, a lot of work there. We did hot dogs and peanuts and popcorn, things associated with the ballpark, sodas, water, that sort of thing.
Dessert hot dogs.
Well, see, I'm getting there.
Oh, well, you were just...
I want to see a transcript of this show, because I like do a paragraph, and then you do two words.
Well, you were going on about the food. I was just adding...
Well, I was getting to the dessert. You start with the main course. Did you think I was done?
Main course was hot dogs.
Did you think I was done?
What else is the main course?
I said we had hot dogs, we had peanuts, we had popcorn, we had pop, we had water, and then you come in and say, dessert hot dogs.
Peanuts... And popcorn are not main courses.
Were they food?
Dessert hot dogs.
Were they food?
Dessert hot dogs.
Were they edible?
Yeah.
Were they there last night? Do you eat the dessert before the main course?
No, but you don't eat popcorn before
hot dogs. I was getting to it.
So, I mean, it's all the
same. I think you do. It was pop. That's what people did last night. They ate their popcorn with their hot dog, and then they had the dessert.
I think it was just kind of because we had popcorn and we had hot dogs.
Huh? So you would eat a regular hot dog, then a dessert hot dog, then popcorn.
I probably would skip the popcorn.
But if you were having popcorn, that's how you would do it.
If I was having popcorn, I probably wouldn't have a hot dog.
Okay. If you were having popcorn and a hot dog,
okay.
that's the role you would go in. Hot dog, dessert, popcorn.
Probably, because I want to watch the show. I can watch the show and eat my popcorn.
You can't eat the... Where do you think people eat these dessert hot dogs at?
Oh, I was there. I mean, I don't know. It felt like they
brought everything back to the tables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like we were.
Oh, here we are off on the inane again.
Like we were on hiatus for like 20 minutes.
We were, yeah. and that was a major problem last
night. A long
as night. It always is, and I think that's a bad idea. But what can you do? In any event, yes, dessert hot dogs, which were very nice, very very clever idea. And actually, we have some of those left over from last night, so we may be giving some away today. If you want to try the great dessert hot dog, which actually does look like a hot dog, and we had baseball cookies. Those were all gone. I didn't see any of those. So it was a lot of fun last night. In any event, about the actual event, yeah, that was a problem because I thought that people were going to take the food to the table. And somewhere it was decided that that was not the case. So I think it's because one person did not show up. So then it became, we have to do this a la carte. Well, I knew that was a bad idea with 100 people. So we had, it was more than 20 minutes because I have the audio of the show. It was about a half hour that it took everybody to get up there and go through, which extended the show about a half hour, which is about a half hour longer than we wanted to go. So it made for a long night, but it happens.
I mean, it went well, so I think that...
Well, the show went well. Now, here we go. Now, this is the big thing. Now, I know what you'll say, but I've heard from other people. You were directing for the first time last night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you feel that went? Which I've always said, 17 shows, it's very difficult. There are always big hiccups all through the night. Because once a live show like that starts, you really can't fix anything that people are doing that you've told them not to do. And then it just becomes a series of that.
I mean, I think it did. I mean, I think it went fine.
Oh, fine, yes. We always get the show done. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, I think it went better than we got the show done.
Well, what is your theory on why people don't listen to what you're saying? I don't want to get into the particulars because I don't want to mention names of things that happened last night.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, people. I mean, I don't know. Once they're up there, I mean, they're. I mean, you know, they're pretty good and well, kind of free to do what they want to do. I mean, I'm not gonna.
No, no, but I'm saying when you tell somebody to do something and you've thoroughly explained it and they've agreed to do it, why do you think they don't do it?
I don't know. I always presume ignorance in the place of, like, malice or something. I think they probably just didn't understand what I was asking of them.
No, I don't think anybody did it to be rude.
No, I don't think it was done to be, like, not malice, but, like, I think they probably just didn't understand what I was saying.
And why do you think there's a preparation issue with some people? Because if you listen to the audio, it's interesting. You'll hear an introduction, and then there's a lull, which is not the biggest deal in the world. But it, you know, the audience is just sitting there at that point. They've clapped for the next person, and now they're just waiting.
Well, I mean, the things weren't the, like, I don't know, the things weren't ready, I guess. It wasn't turned on, so you gotta turn it on and wait. And
or people go to the wrong area.
I think that might have been my fault.
But in any event, that's what it was. It was a fun night because going into this, pretty much everybody knew that this was going to be Larry Barnett's last public appearance, and I think he said more or less last night. So it was very emotional in that way. And from where I was sitting, hosting the show, there were people crying. There were people crying when they were giving their speech, a couple people. So it was a very, very, very emotion-filled night.
Well, yeah. I mean, I figured it would be, you know, fairly emotional, so...
Well, I didn't know if it'd get that far, but I do want to thank County Commissioner Andy Apatheller, who was there last night, to honor Larry, Brenda Donegan, formerly with the Marion Star, Fran Vall was there last night. Sheriff Matt Bales was there last night. Stan Foos, a good friend of Larry's, was there last night. Brian Agler, former WNBA coach, and his wife, who's the head of the park district over in Prospect, was there last night. They all spoke. We had a proclamation from Governor DeWine that he had sent down, and Lieutenant Governor Tressel. So it was great. And I think Larry had a good time.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the show went well. I mean, I think, well, you know, we also had the entertainers and the choirs and I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I think that's it. It's just because there were two choirs. But, yeah. So, I mean, there were, you know, loads of people there.
So, what was your favorite part of the show?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It was all about the same to me. I was kind of running around telling people that they're up next. I wouldn't pay a whole lot of attention to the actual show.
See, it's a heavy job. It's a heavy job.
I mean, like, I'd watch somebody talk for I don't know, what seemed like a minute, and then I'd be like, all right, well, gotta go key in the next person.
Well, this is it. I wanted to pick out a few obviously, in a show that went 2.5 hours. Now, again, a half hour of that was people getting their food. But in a show that went 2.5 hours, there were a couple moments that stood out. So I came in early this morning and did a little bit of editing here. I didn't edit anybody's performance, but I edited out some of the lulls in between. But I thought some of the significant moments last night, maybe somebody would like to hear this morning. And so here are a couple of those significant moments. Now, the first one you're going to hear is comedian Mike Larson, who has been on the show before. I thought he did great last night. And he'll be followed by the performance of the Marian Airs. And I think you're going to like this because that was special in regard to last night's event. And you'll know why momentarily. So here is comedian Mike Larson, who's appeared with Jay Leno, written for Ryan Reynolds, Whoopi Goldberg, so on and so forth last night. And he had some good lines in there about Mary Ellen and Larry. And then the Marian Airs paying tribute to Larry and also doing a great performance last night at the Guthrie Room at Ohio State. Here we go.
It was tremendous. Now, as we continue on tonight, our next performer here is used to big crowds and big stages. He is a stand-up comedian. He appeared on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. He wrote for such people, comedy writer as Whoopi Goldberg, Rosie O'Donnell, Bill Maher, Ryan Reynolds, and he's here tonight. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones, Mike Larson.
Thank you, Scott. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome. Mr. Barnett, it is an honor. I come from a baseball family. So, in fact, my father played minor league baseball, raised 5 kids, and we were a liberal family. My father said my sisters could bring any man home other than an umpire. So, he's an old coach. I've got to say, when I walked in the room and saw all the light blue shirts, I thought it was all umpires. I was like, what a great turnout for Larry! Yeah, so it is an honor to be here. Always nice working with Scott. It's nice being in Marion. The talent is amazing in Marion, right? It seems like anytime Marion has a need, a local stands up with talent and fills it. Unless it's balancing a city budget. But that involves math. I live down the road in Plain City. You know Plain City, the most honestly named city in all of Ohio. Plain City, you go to Plain City, most likely for Der Dutchman, right? You go to Der Dutchman? Sure you do. That delicious Amish food. You know when you're sitting at home with your family and you're saying, mmm, 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 what am I hungry for tonight? Italian? Mexican? No, Amish. It's been days since I've had Amish. So you go to the Der Dutchman, although you know the Amish don't run it, right? Right. Amish can't run a restaurant. No, they farmed it out to the Mennonites. Yes, the Mennonites are like JV Amish. You know, they still make a nice quilt, but can also plug in a coffee pot. You need both of those skills to run a restaurant. I like you guys already because you don't laugh at everything. That's a good sign. I get spoiled sometimes with all the laughter, so I appreciate that. Mary Ellen's here, my friend Mary Ellen. Honestly, I like Scott. I'm here because Mary Ellen's here, to tell the truth. Welcome. You should just turn the city budget over to Mary Ellen. She'd fix it in a week. Mary Ellen and I bonded because my grandmother's signature is also on the money. She used to write "Happy Birthday, Grandma" on a $5 bill. Every year there's about 40 of them in circulation. It's pretty impressive. I actually live on the border of Plain City and Dublin. So as Scott said, I worked for many years in television. I wrote for a whole bunch of hit television shows. And then about 6 years ago, I sold my house in Hollywood and bought a place in Plain City, because that's what you do when your showbiz career is on fire. It was a good move for me, though. I was a top 100 comedy writer in Los Angeles. In Plain City, I'm number one. It's all relative, right? So we live in Plain City, but my kid went to school in Dublin, the Dublin schools. And we were a little concerned. We had come from Los Angeles, and Luca's school was very diverse. You know, it's a melting pot. It was wonderful. And when we got to Dublin, we were a little concerned. And the school superintendent said, "Don't you worry. We pride ourselves on our diversity here in Dublin. This year's student body comes from families representing 7 different country clubs." So, 30 years in the major leagues, Larry Barnett. Have a hand for Larry Barnett. 30 years.
It was 31.
31, I'm sorry. Look at that. You just can't help correcting people, can you? It's, I can only imagine living with an umpire. Oh my gosh, must be constant. Yeah. Driving in here, I met Larry in the parking lot. He was criticizing the way I was parked. I told him, "The line is in, Larry. The line is in." Yeah. Larry, 31 years in the major leagues, been called every dirty name in the book, right? Blind, stupid, crooked. It's amazing we haven't elected you to something. Yeah. Yeah. I am sure. Like I say, I grew up in a sports family, and so great respect. I'll just tell you this last little thing. So I think it's unfair I did some research. You know, I want to come here, and it's like I know who Larry Barnett is. I grew up in a National League family, though. We grew up in San Francisco, rooting for the Giants. In fact, I sold peanuts out at the ballpark as a kid. The American League was all the way across the bay. We didn't get over there very often. But I did some research, and it really is unfair how we treat umpires. You know, 31 years in the major league, Larry made 200,000 calls in his career. You go to Wikipedia, and they mention the one or two that people think you might have got wrong, right? Can you imagine if your entire adult life was based on the one bad decision you made? I'd still be known as the streaker who couldn't hurdle a rose bush. Scott, thank you for being here. Mary Ellen, great to see you. Larry, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Scott. Thank you. Mike Larson, one of my favorite people. Now, as we go along here tonight, you've heard this group already. They're one of my favorite groups in Marion. What more can you say? Ladies and gentlemen,
the Marionaires.
Came by one summer day, Maestro's big brown eyes my way, and oh, I want to do forevermore.
Now, baby,
I'm not one that gets around, swear my feet stuck to the ground, as though I never did meet you before. I say hello, Mary Lou, goodbye, heart.
What a wonderful performance by the Marionaires singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And in the room, they were surrounded by Larry. And then everybody joined in because everybody knows the words and sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game. That was a magical moment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game so many times. So many times.
Well, I get up to 5 words that time. Wow, the transcript's going to be just smoking on this show. Oh, my Lord. That's all you got, huh?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
So you didn't quite understand the significance of the moment with Larry Barnett sitting there and a group singing it who actually knows how to sing and then 100 people singing it. You think that's the same as, like, the 3 of us singing it in the studio?
It felt the same to me.
I think you need some emotional... I think you might need some emotional work.
I see... Why it's significant.
I don't know why we're going over this today. You're like some kind of critic this morning.
No, it was good. No.
Oh, my Lord. It's work with you some days. Now, this moment to me was one of the more significant moments of the night. Now, I hope this is right because I didn't know this song was coming, and this was really, really something. This is 11-year-old Gabriel Ross Vanis last night. And followed by Aaron Brewer. So take a listen. Hopefully we're cued in the right place here.
Thank you, Chad.
Thank you, Chad. And we continue on tonight. We're glad to bring back up to the microphone here, Gabriel Ross Vanis.
Hey, everyone. I told you I'd be back. So this one I'm dedicating to the umpire. And if you know this song, sing along with me on the chorus. Okay, let's do this.
Another number from Aaron Brewer. Thank you, Aaron.
There we go. Real quick, I just want to dedicate this song to everyone in this crowd tonight. This next song is about accepting a situation as it is, letting it be. This next one is also dedicated to you. This next one is Let It Be by the Beatles. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hours of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, oh let it be. Let it be, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer,
ransom, let it be. Let it be, let it be. Oh, let it be, hey, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be.
Gabriel Rosbandas and Aaron Brewer last night. What a performance it was. What'd you make, Matt?
Well, I thought it went well. You know, I mean, I think that... Sorry. But, no, I thought it went well. I mean, I thought Gabriel and Aaron did well. Chad, obviously, he's come through for the radio station in many events. He did well. You know, I think that, all in all, I think the event went, went off with very, very few minor hitches.
And then here came the big crescendo last night. It was Brian Agler presenting Larry Barnett and Larry's big speech at the very end last night.
I think we were playing at George Washington University, and you hosted our team to dinner after the game. Thanks for the very nice words. Mary Ellen, I don't know if you remember this, but I took a team to D.C. one time and played. I think we were playing at George Washington University, and you hosted our team to dinner after the game one night, so really appreciate that. So I know Larry pretty well, although I don't know him as well as some of you guys do. I know him in a different way. My life is intertwined with his family. So we moved to Prospect in 1961. And my dad and my mom were both educators. So we grew up there, and one of my best friends in the world was Rob Carr. And we grew up together, played sports. Our routine in Prospect was, when we were growing up, you get up, eat your breakfast, go to the park, play baseball, go home, eat lunch, go to the pool. If you had a paper route, then you'd leave, go do the papers, come back, go to the pool, and then go play a game that night. That was a routine. We all did it. So Rob and I knew each other quite a bit. I'd go to his house, he'd come to mine. We'd spend some time just hanging out. He'd talk about his Uncle Larry. And I thought it was so cool that Rob would have all these baseballs with signatures on them, his autographs, all these baseball hats. Greatest thing in the world. Now, Rob died in an accident at an early age. God rest his soul. But just a true friend, played baseball, basketball, everything together going up through high school. Never forget the guy. He's got another nephew that after that I sort of became friends with, Jerry Hayes. And Jerry was a character, and to say the least, anybody that knows him. But really got to know him. He admired his uncle as well. And he would, no matter where I was coaching in the country, I could guarantee you Jerry was going to come to that location. It wouldn't matter if it's Seattle or L.A. or Manhattan, Kansas or Kansas City. It didn't matter. He was going to show up at some point. So really got to know him well. As a lot of you know, he became sick, you know, at an earlier age and passed away as well. But both of those guys were just dear friends of mine. So my parents taught me that you'll be successful if you influence other people's lives in a positive way. That's a sign of success. And from my vantage point, I have a different vantage point than a lot of you guys with Larry. When I was growing up with Rob, Larry was traveling. He was gone a lot. He'd occasionally come into Cleveland. He'd come home to prospect anytime he was in Cleveland and Detroit. I always wondered why. You know, why do you drive back? Well, he loved being around his family whenever he got that chance. Stan made a good point, though. And the reason I know this, because I did this for about 25 years. I'd leave and go coach, and then I'd come back. And so Sharon, what she went through for all those years, my hat is off to you, because I know my wife went through the same thing. So Stan's point about you being the backbone and the stabilizer in that family is huge. But I admired Larry from afar. Didn't get a chance to know him real well, other than going to a baseball game on occasion in Cleveland with Rob. He'd come home on occasion, we'd get a chance to talk, but I didn't know him real well. Then I got off to college, and I got into coaching career about the time Larry was going to retire, then he comes back to prospect. Now, what Larry has done for the Prospect Park, my dad sort of did the same thing when Larry was umpiring. And so my mom really had a great admiration for the park. We put a lot of time and energy into that park, our family did. So after my father passed away, Larry came back, and then he sort of took over. And any time I would call back home, my mom would talk about how great a job you were doing with the Prospect Park. Really appreciated that. So I look at Larry differently. Everybody sort of knows he's an umpire. I admire the hell out of that, because getting to the level he got in his profession, as you saw in the video, you have to take a risk, you have to take a chance, and think about him leaving home when he's 18 or 19 years old, not really knowing what's going to happen, but he took a risk, he took a chance, he bet on himself, basically. He and I had one similarity, though. We had both in high school had a mentor by the name of Emil Rubich. Emil was a big part of Larry's life. Mentored him, probably encouraged him, inspired him to do these kind of things, as he did me when I was going through high school. And Larry, as I was growing up, without him knowing, for somebody that's a competitor, and you want to be the best you can be, and whatever that is, it doesn't really matter what it is, and you see somebody from your little town doing that, it inspires you to say, hey, maybe I can do the same thing. So Larry, one of the ways he has really influenced, impacted people he doesn't even know is by him just achieving at a high level to inspire people like myself to go out and try to do the same thing. He's also inspired a couple other people. Jerry Lane, who was a major league umpire who just retired. You've been a great mentor to him. And even Randy Motley. So Jerry and Rob and Randy and I were all in the same class there in Prospect. And we always looked up to Larry. So that's one, being a mentor, setting the standard, showing other people you can achieve. Now, we've talked about the second way that he's really impacted people in a positive way on all the time and the energy he's given to the veterans. He's gone around the country. He's inspired people. He's motivated people. He's made people feel good when they were maybe not feeling real good about things. And, you know, again, impacting people's lives in a positive way. That's the second way, Larry. And then the third is what he's done with the park. After his retirement, he's come back and he's taken the bull by the horns with that Prospect Park. And I don't know if you guys have been down there, but it's spectacular. It's the gem of Prospect. And anybody that knows Prospect or knows of our part of the county knows of the Prospect Park. And like I told him the other day, when my dad was there helping with the park, he purchased some land to expand the park. So it's about 25 acres. Before that, it was about 9 acres. Now it's 25. But there's about 22 acres on the other side of Battle Creek that's going to be part of that Prospect Park coming up one of these days. And you're going to be recognized on that. Trust me on that. I've already gone to work on that part of it. So anyway, you've inspired a lot of people. You've been a big part of people's lives. You are a... if Prospect had a mantle over the fireplace, your picture would be on the mantle. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for having us tonight. Scott, thank you for inviting me to talk.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Brian. That was great.
Brian Agler, and we're going to come back after this short but important break with Larry's speech from last night. Get a hanky ready. We'll be back right after this.
Going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
It can be hard to tell sometimes, but if you have a concern about a friend who's having trouble,